Podcasting 2.0 for June 12th, 2026, episode 263. Chat is dead. Well, hello and welcome, my friends, into the boardroom, the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Just a bunch of teenagers here, pay no attention to us. Besides the fact that we know actually what the future of podcasting is going to be because we're creating it. In fact, we are the only boardroom that you play for more than 30 seconds. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who's so far underwater he needs a snorkel. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones!
Oh, the reverb on the end. I like it.
Come on,
it.
Man. Yes. Come on. I'm a radio pronunciator.
You are. That was impressive. I like it.
Yeah. It's Friday once again, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. Dave, how are you doing? I saw notes on the podcast index.social, and whenever you say, I'm so far underwater, man, I'm like, oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I live in that state perpetually, so I'm used to it, but I need to set expectations about how fast code or something is going to happen, because I'm like, you know, there's a lot going on. I always feel bad because people email me or post something to me and want something, and I'm like, you know, I really want to give that to you quickly, but I just...
Right.
I only get about an hour and a half a day max
It's crazy to see code. How much output you have actually based upon that hour and a half a day.
I've been able to increase the output a little bit with AI coding.
Ah, there it is. Increased productivity. No one's replacing Dave. He's just getting more productive. And when you get more productive, there's less time for your wife.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
I know.
I think the AI coding has worked pretty well for my use cases because there was already a large existing code base which it can draw patterns from.
Sure.
I mean, there's already 100,000 lines of code, you know, in the podcast index repositories to just sort of like
root around and delete stuff.
Yeah. I say I need a new endpoint that does this on the API, and it can just say, well, it can go look at the existing stuff and all the SQL statements and all that kind of stuff. That's not hard.
But wait, when you say that, do you let it build it?
I always go through the spec-driven development process. I always have it create a spec.
A plan.
Well, no, yeah, this is, yeah, it is. It's a plan, but also like my typical pattern is I take, I never let the AI agent touch the code base touch the repository.
Mm-hmm.
So it is prohibited from writing anything to Git.
Except for when it does it.
Except for when it does it and then apologizes for it after the fact.
That's my favorite. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'll write this down so that'll never happen again.
And then it'll do it, and it'll say, oh, you know what?
You're right. I should have seen that. I have a note about that. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
How many times yes. I've been through that? It's a lie. It's just a lie. Unless you specifically say in your prompt, and remember, don't do this. You've got a memory file about it. It will do it. Eventually, it will just do it. You've got to, you have to be, these things need a human to drive it. It needs a human. When it comes back from, if you clear out the context, which I do a lot, comes back from context, and then I'll have to remind it, okay, remember, we have memory about this. Go look for it before you, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I don't actually know any of that. Let me go check it out. because it just doesn't know. And it literally doesn't know. It's not intelligent. It's a robot.
And that's why I never let it touch Git. And of course, you have to have your stuff backed up. I mean, you have to. Yeah. You must have backed up.
No matter what. Everything. Yeah, no matter what.
And so I never let it touch Git. And then I think coders who are very successful with using AI agents to do coding are people who already think in small bite-sized chunks about projects.
Small-minded people, yes.
Small people with small windows of thought processing. Yes. Yes.
Well,
because you already, the process you already take is one where you take a large thing and boil it down into a small series of steps. And so you naturally sort of think and talk that way already. And then you take that and apply it to a very, a code repository that's been around for years and is very mature. Mature in the sense of it has established patterns. Not that those patterns are necessarily optimized, but it does have a set of patterns, yes, already.
Yes.
And because then, adding a new endpoint to an API is typically not that difficult if all you're needing is data presented in a new way.
I found, you know how skills work, obviously. I found that I've been able to make something called doctrine. Claude calls doctrine. So an example of doctrine is, my example of do the credits. So it's all uppercase credits. And then now, depending on what show I'm working on, that's how it adjusted. So it's not just a skill specifically for No Agenda for Podcasting 2.0. And it understands doctrine. So it kind of handles it as a skill and it has the scripts already built. It just knows the variable is where I'm at that moment. And that's worked out pretty well for me.
I think obviously AI is dominating everything in
life.
Everything.
Life.
Now. Life. All life. Of our lives are just so saturated with it.
And yes.
I don't think I've ever been so split-minded about a single piece of technology as I am with this.
Wow.
On a daily basis, I get tons of use out of it, but I also just despise it down to my core of who I hate it.
Right down to your backbone.
I hate, yes, my very cerebrospinal fluid quivers with disgust at AI generated output.
Well,
I cannot stand it when somebody sends me like a document or an email that starts off and you immediately within the first two sentences
know that it's AI.
And it's like 12 paragraphs of the, and I'm like, man, I can't read this.
Well, this is interesting. I know you followed the Godcaster chat that we had this morning. There was, it was kind of fun how it came in like, it's off air, but it's broken. And that was kind of the message that we got. And so I go to investigate. Let me see what's going on. It was a live stream and I didn't know if it was broken. I didn't know if it was not, what off air meant. And so after probably 25 minutes, I figured out that what was happening is a Godcaster live stream station. We have a product called Your Town Live Stream. Was being relayed by Live365, which is correct for licensing. But it was actually Live365 who, for whatever reason, their system was just putting out metadata saying off air without passing through the metadata, which comes through, CTY, I think it is. That's the metadata that comes along with Icecast. And so I told the robot, write up a document for the help desk on that end. If the user can't figure out how to, restart their relay or whatever it is. And so it wrote a paragraph. I don't know if you saw that, if you had time to look at it, but I was curious if you thought, oh, wow, this is an AI generated thing. So did you see it or you didn't see it?
I was split brained with work. Okay. So let me go back and see if I can see.
Yeah. Well, and
is this the one? No, I did not see this. Okay. You said I've debugged everything. I haven't read any of this yet. Here's a template.
Does it scream AI to you?
The one that says, okay, I've debugged everything.
Yeah. What's underneath that? What they would have to give to the help desk at Life365?
Curious Curiosity, please restart me. Not necessarily, no. Okay.
So as I was posting that, I thought to myself, well, what we need here is the world where my robot talks to the robot at the help desk at Life365 and they just resolve it without two other people sitting in the middle. That would have been a beautiful thing. Because now Gordon has to talk to the station guy. The station guy has to go talk to Live365. If you can't figure it out, he has to email him this document. I can see a world where that would have been very handy.
Man, I'm going to have to think about that one. I mean, handy and...
Well, less... That would be more productive for everybody involved. We could do other things with that time.
It depends on what you mean. Like productivity has a lot of consequences.
I am not going to make you feel good about this at all. I can tell. I'm with you on emails. I'm with you on songs. I'm with you on images. I'm with you on all of that. I mean, that's annoying.
Well, it's because I live my life in 50% of my job on a daily basis for the last 27 years has been tech support.
Right. And now you're getting just longer emails and with superlatives that you don't need.
That is more work slop.
And works help works yeah up. Yeah
and less help desk on the help desk side of things. The issue I think is that I think the reason I'm having a reaction to what you're saying about just let my support bot talk to that support bot and then let them resolve it. Errors in systems have many, they look the same. You can have a large number of problems that manifest themselves in the same output.
Sure. The same dialogue box.
Exactly. And so like if the customer is not involved or the end user or whatever is not involved, or if they're the ones that trigger it themselves.
Yeah, that, I understand.
It all falls apart. Like
it's kind of a false equivalency. Let me give you a podcasting example of productivity. Okay. So every month or so, Pastor Jimmy records 23 daily grinds for me. This is a 1-minute devotional. I have a script that takes I dump all 23 of these into a bin, and then the script, it's a cron job. It runs. It says, okay, let me get the next number in the sequence. It actually does some fun things. It whispers it and then figures out what the scripture is about. And then it does the ID3 tags, uploads it to the server, adds the episode to the RSS feed. So that's already kind of cool. The fact that it's, this less work, because who wants to be titling, all of this, like 23 episodes. So when he sends it to me as one big file, and he's got flubs, he's got pickups. And so that used to be about a 2.5 to 3 hour job. I'm pretty fast at editing. So, you know, I pick up, I can see on the waveform, oh, he picked it up. Okay, I'll set an out point there, in point there, click, let me listen. Okay, the edit's good. Then I'd have to put music blocks on each of those. Then I have to cut each one, output it, and then it goes into the bin. So about 23 minutes. So I did an experiment. I said, robot, here's a file. There's 23 daily grinds on here. There are pickups, there are flubs, there are restarts. I want you to cut each one, put the music under it, make sure there's no flubs, title it, do the ID3 tags, and then put it in the bin. Brother, it had, out of 23, there were two, because all I had to do was just audition them in real time, listening to them. There were two that had a little audio flub at the beginning, just a little glitch of, you know, a little snippet of audio. And one where it did an edit, but it picked up a double breath. Otherwise, flawless. Total time for Adam, about 30 minutes. Most of it just spent listening to them to make sure the output was correct. This was mind-blowing to me.
Okay, so what you're describing is a process that you could have written code for yourself by hand.
Yes, it wrote code for it, exactly.
That's exactly right. So you could have written code that does this yourself. Any process that you can envision as a automated code-based process,
mm-hmm.
the LLM can do it and just do it very, very fast.
Yeah, exactly. And then it has this built in, and now I'm able to reuse that code because it, you know, we've made this into a doctrine. So now it mm-hmm. understands that code, and so I'm taking the next step because I'm setting up a studio at the church. They've given me an office, and I can make it. It's already soundproofed and everything because people want to do podcasts. I'm like, you know, the last thing I want to be is the podcast engineer guy. So I feel like this. Now, the beautiful combination for me is Claude with Omarchi. So it's Linux. I'm running it native. I don't buy software. I don't look for software. I just say, build this software for me. So I said, I need a piece of software that is idiot-proof. You click on the button, you select your podcast, you hit record. If you flub, mess up, you know, take it, do a do-over, etc., people don't have to worry about that. They just keep recording, and then when they're done, they hit stop, and then you go and you detect all the pickups, anything necessary, cut off the beginning, cut off the end, have them, you know, give an audition of any edits that were made, and ultimately just ID3 tag it, put the image in, boom, good to go. And the next step will be, you know, poop it right up to RSS.com. I mean, this is the tools I have, which is FFmpeg. I support those guys. Send those guys money. FFmpeg is just one of the most beautiful tools I've ever seen in my life. It does everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whisper. Which I do on, you know, just to get transcripts of everything. I live in audio. So that's the next tool for me. And I use together.ai for super fast, you know, it can do an hour in like 45 seconds and Python and then the bot, the robot. And it's changing my life. So I understand where you're coming from. I also see how it's, cause I can't write code like that. I mean, yeah, maybe I could kind of get somewhere. But no, not really. But I understand what it's doing and I understand how to tell it to go reuse that code. And it's just, it's blowing my mind how productive I've become.
This is the issue with the current state of AI psychosis that has just gripped the entire
world.
Known world is the conflation between the incredible gain in productivity that you just described and I would describe it as not even really a gain in productivity so much as an erasure of the things that you used to just dread. Like so you get to a point in a code base where when somebody describe where you begin to build out a feature and what you see as the developer is just a whole lot of copying and pasting.
Mm-hmm.
You're like this feature shares so many things in common with this other feature, and I'm just going to have to go in there and I'm going to have to build a different version of the same class. I'm going to have to import these same methods.
Right.
I'm going to have to build the same unit tests. You're just doing the same thing with slight tweaks over and over and over again, which is exactly the process you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
The going out and getting clips, the getting, you know, the automatic edits, the mm-hmm. all these are just things that you it's not. And so, but then that process, which is completely valid, that an agent can take a process like that and write all the code that does that automates it for you, which is code that you would have never taken the time to write because it would have taken 100 hours.
No, you used to write it for me until you got busy.
That's how
I'm using the exact same process as you and I have used for 16 years.
You're just talking to the agent instead of me.
Yeah.
Right.
I call it Dave, just so you know.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
When the problem comes in is that gets conflated with actual
customer facing products that are supposed to be good.
Yeah. Or like you described customer support.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody despises AI agent customer support.
Sure.
It drives you mad.
Which I wasn't suggesting.
Of course. Oh, I know what you're saying. But I'm saying like that's where you have completely streamlinable, automatable code production on one end that is getting rid of rote copy paste work for developers and content producers.
Well, also when it comes to help desk, people hate help desk and help desk hate people searching for help. I feel we're just removing human to human friction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I book travel. I call American Express and I talk to a human being and I joke with them and I have a good time. And I always tell them, please put me through to your robot so I can give you a good review. And for those of you listening to this recording, give Jacob a raise. This man deserves a raise. I'm always doing that. And it's very enjoyable to me.
Well, when people don't know, technically oriented people do not understand that non-technically oriented people don't know how to describe problems.
No kidding.
They don't know.
No.
And what you get is, hey, this thing doesn't work. Well, no.
And thus starts the question and answer session.
Yeah, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so, like, it really takes a human to understand the flow of the conversation that happens during a support encounter.
Yeah.
And sort of glean out because every person that you talk to is also different.
Mm-hmm.
Because like this person describes things in this way. This person could describe the same problem in a completely different way. And it takes a human to understand this person's lingo and pick up on, oh, I see, when they say this, what they really mean is this other thing. And there's some people you talk to on a support encounter where you know that they are lying to you. You just know it.
Mm-hmm.
You say that the first thing you say is, "Did you reboot your machine?" Yeah, yeah, I did. And you're like, no, you didn't. You're lying to me. And you go
you're
and check,
lying.
You,
yeah, that's the worst.
You go and check their
logs.
Their log. Yeah, you pull up their machine in real time. Says it's been up for 12 days without a reboot. You're like. And so the bot will never know this, but you know it because you have an instinct about the way this person is talking to you.
Okay. Now I'll just say from a buddy of mine sells AI based systems to call centers. I'm not sure, you know, these are US based call centers, but they're basically sweatshops. And those guys are firing, you know, 65% once they you know, have the agent or whatever figures out the corpus of the company, and they're very happy with it. I personally, you know, depending on what the company is, I think there's levels where you want a human being. It actually took me longer the other day to get through to an operator, you know, human being. The bot kept cock blocking me. But I see from a business perspective where that's like the one instance where I say, okay, you know, depending on what your company is, you know, like for travel, American Express travel, I think I pay fees. I want to talk to a person and I feel good about that. A travel concierge. They bill it that way. And I don't mind paying the fee for that. But all this other stuff, there's so many different levels that I just find super enjoyable. My creative mind is, I mean, look, we built the Freedom Controller. It took us years to do. And it was also, there was newness for you because, you know, I don't think you'd ever really built something like this. And it was a lot of, you know, trial and error and me testing stuff and breaking stuff. Right. That process for me, I now have, you know,
The Freedom Controller could be vibe coded in an hour and a half
today. Now. Yeah, today.
Complete.
But,
I mean,
but that's the point. You know,
and with higher code quality,
possibly. Although that thing is rock solid, man. It's been running for 8 years, like never a reboot.
The uptime on it's like 1900 days or something.
It's nuts. So anyway, I mean, I'm just saying for what I do. I mean, like, and just the other example, I did this, I think you saw that. We did a Godcaster U. It's a Zoom call. Zoom, by the way, teaches me a lot about changing features and removing features. Whoa. Those guys change stuff all the time. And it throws you for a loop, man. It's like, oh, now I can't share. How do I share my, you know, so we go through these horrible loops of things. But it's at the end, it spits out a video. And then we want to put that into our Godcaster U RSS feed. And I did the same thing. I said, hey, this video starts at 38 minutes. It ends at 1 hour and 59 minutes or whatever it was, 127. I want you to cut off the beginning, cut off the end, put a Godcaster U logo in the top left-hand corner. I want captions in the lower half, or the lower third, and output it for web format. And it did it. That was amazing. That's all FFmpeg 2.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it did. Yeah. Because it's a script, because it's a known issue with it that's clearly scriptable.
Yeah. Do you see how me as a frustrated non-coder just enjoys that so much?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
I want you to find some joy like that, Dave. You have no, can I give you some of my joy?
I don't know that people who've been writing code for a long time really find any joy in the AI coding experience. Mm. Like I think that because it's not some, because what you've done is you've replaced copy and pasting with just a chat session where you're saying yes, yes. Yes.
It gives me multiple choice questions.
No, no, yes. And then you say, write this spec document to an HTML file so I can print it.
Yeah, no, I understand. But for me, it's like I go from concept and idea and brain fart to product within half an hour. I mean, that's mind boggling. And it's just for me. I'm not going to sell this. I'm not going to put it on the app store. Yeah. You know, that's a whole different level. I don't think that would work. You know, the idea of we'll have one person, billion-dollar companies. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I think I agree with you 100%. It does take the fun away out of coding. And it's not that there was a ton of fun in most coding already. Most coding was just a lot of rehashing of the same patterns over and over. But you would have moments of fun where you would run up against a real problem
and then walk around the block for an hour and like, what am I doing wrong? You come back and I know I've been there too.
And now that's gone. Now it's just a Now it's just an answer. Now it's just a yes.
Yeah,
answer.
I know. The challenge is a bit gone. I understand.
I think the bigger issue though is that I think I said like a couple of years ago in the boardroom that podcast companies that have baked API calls to LLM providers into their process, at some point, that is going to become, you better have a plan B. And
well, yeah, sure. Customer facing product, there's all kinds of risk there.
Well, no, did you see what OpenAI said this past week? They said,
no,
chat is dead. Did you see that?
No, that's their main thing.
Let's see. I should have pulled that article. Yeah, chat is dead. OpenAI preps an overhaul of ChatGPT. So basically they're saying that the chatbot aspect, let's see. OpenAI is preparing the biggest overhaul of ChatGPT since its launch kicked off, blah, blah, blah. The company intends to transform the chatbot into a, quote, super app, unquote.
They're using the Elon Musk super app moniker. Oh, very fun. Yeah.
That combines coding tools and AI agents, adding products that executives believe will generate more revenue.
More tokenage.
Yeah. So chat is dead, said one senior OpenAI employee. OpenAI executives increasingly view ChatGPT, which has attracted nearly a billion users, as a gateway to introduce users to higher value products.
Chat is dead. Long live Fireside.
So the issue that I see after the WWDC stuff this week,
which seemed pretty underwhelming. What I was reading about it, I didn't even want to look at the keynote or what used to be a keynote, which is now like still a COVID era based video.
My takeaway from that, from WWDC, was totally different than yours.
Okay. Well, I didn't see it. So this is just the reporting that I got. I didn't see it. I looked what Spurlock said. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very exciting.
Well, a lot of people were saying that it was boring, but the boringness of it may have been true, but the impact of it, I think, is going to reverberate. What I think we just witnessed with what Apple is doing with AI.
Can I tell you what I hoped for? And then you tell me what happened. What I was hoping for was for them to say, look at our machines. These are the best machines with unified memory. You'll run our MLX, LMNOP agent. It will create anything you need, software. It'll be your all-in-one box. That's what I was hoping to hear, and I didn't get any takeaway from the postings or articles.
There's a lot of that, what you just described, a lot of that is in the individual developer sessions, which you can watch on YouTube.
Okay.
There's a lot of dedicated sessions that show you how to get the most out of MLX for local models. There's even sessions on chaining Mac Minis together to get parallel processing. Like they went pretty in depth on that, on local model support. So I don't think that part was a disappointment at all.
Okay.
I think the takeaway that I had overall is that they just rug pulled the big LLM model providers.
Ooh, well, that's good.
Because what did they just, so they are hosting their own models in Google's cloud and with privacy, they say Google cannot even access the data. And so if what they demoed actually works and works well, nobody will ever use a ChatGPT chatbot again. Why would you?
Wow. Can I play some clips about this when you're done with your analysis?
Yeah. So if the hundreds of millions of iPhone users suddenly can just hold down their Siri button and say, you know, blah, 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 the thing they would say to a ChatGPT chatbot in the past, or Anthropic or whatever, which is still the predominant way that most people interact with these AI model providers mm-hmm. like Anthropic and OpenAI. Mm-hmm. If they can do that, why would they ever pay for ChatGPT or right. even think about it? It's good. It's over. It's just over.
I will
because Android will then do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done. And it's done. You have no more reason for OpenAI and Claude and Anthropic to even exist.
So Jensen Huang, who for purposes of this discussion I'll call Jensen Jobs, because man, he wears the leather jacket and he tries to do a one more thing and he says, but there's more. So he did this big thing in Korea, I think. It's a big computing conference. And he went through 87 minutes of and this chip and that chip and this partnership and it's great and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last 3 minutes, he does this.
But that's not all. That's not all.
One more thing.
RTX Spark is a reinvention of laptop. But in fact,
laptop. It's a reinvention of laptop, not of a laptop or the. It's laptop.
It's like iPhone. It's like iPhone. Yeah, exactly. It's laptop.
Laptop.
Of laptop. But in fact, Microsoft NVIDIA is reinventing all of PC. And today we're announcing a whole new line. Three revolutionary Windows machines covering desktop, laptop, and workstations. All 100% Windows compatible. 100% CUDA, 100% NVIDIA AI Tensor Core, everything that runs, that you see that runs on NVIDIA and all these different platforms around the world runs here. This is the first completely re-engineered, reinvented line of PCs that has happened in 40 years.
Okay, so this had my attention, although I'm like, okay, right, you've got a partnership with Windows, blah, blah, whatever. But then
this agent could run 24/7, meter free. And you could download your agent. You could raise your lobster in here.
Meter free.
This is your claw. It's running all the time. No meter anxiety. And it's sitting here connected to your whole house, connected to your laptop.
Now, so this, I'm like, wow, okay, that's exactly what I've been waiting for. No yeah. meter anxiety, it's running locally. But then the guy, he gets nutty.
Connected to your display, all the cameras, your dryer, your
what?
Water cooler, your,
what?
Your dryer. Water heater.
What? 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 My water cooler? What? No, what?
Your everything, whatever you want. Your security system, all connected to this.
Who gives a crap about that?
And this becomes your personal AI, your personal AI agent. And it gets smarter and smarter and smarter over time because today we have Nemotron 3 Ultra. Tomorrow we have Nemotron 4.
Nemotron 5.
Nemotron 5.
Nemotron 6.
And we just keep getting it smarter and smarter and smarter. And meanwhile, this is sitting at home helping you do things. If you want to book a travel, no problem.
Book a travel.
And if you want an incredible system, this is a DGX station for Windows.
Okay, so he goes on about Windows, blah, blah, blah. So I'm totally in on the whole idea, and I don't know if he did this on purpose, or if he's an idiot, or it just doesn't see an act, because he talks, I see a future, I see a future, and here's the, I see a future, I'm like, yeah, I want something that just runs locally, no meter anxiety, it programs, it does stuff for me, creates applications, oh, I can think of a million things to make my life better with that. But here's his vision.
Something is happening here.
Yes.
Remember, 15, 20 years ago, we used to have an idea called a phone. Today, we have an idea called a PC. Today, when you think about your phone, the one thing you don't do with it is make phone calls. You do just about everything else. And so that phone means something very different to you than a phone of the past.
It's kind of insulting to technical people, but okay.
I am certain what's going to happen here is that the PC 10 years from now and the PC that you think about today, a tool, whether you launch applications, click and type, and this PC is going to be completely different. Here's my theory. I can totally imagine, just as every house today has a home theater.
Do you have a home theater, Dave? Do you have?
I got three. I have three.
Do you have like seats that recline with the cup holders and everything? Yeah,
I've got a podcast room with my food that's currently sitting on the floor.
I have a big TV. I don't know if that counts.
Where many houses have home theaters, big TVs, lawnmowers, dishwashers. I could totally imagine that someday there's actually an AI supercomputer in your house. Uh-huh. And it's running all of your agents. It's running all of your assistants.
What's it doing?
And they're doing all kinds of things for you all the time. And you have to have it in your house, just like you have a home theater in your house. You have stereos in your house. You have game consoles in your house.
AI supercomputer in your house, brought to you by RSS.com.
The only thing he's missing is saying, it will know when your milk is out in the refrigerator. It will order the milk, and it will automatically get replenished, which has been the promise since 1997.
This is dumb.
It's dumb. But he is showing us where they're going. They're already thinking, hey, man, we're not going to be relying on these local models, on these large language models and what do they call them? Model labs.
Yeah, you know why they did labs. You know why they did all that? I think they are pivoting because the bubble's already popped.
Ooh.
Apple popped it. Apple popped the bubble. They knew it was coming. OpenAI and chat. So in order to be, Ed Zitron has done this work.
Yeah, Zitron is awesome.
He's hilarious. So he's done this work in the financials of OpenAI and Anthropic. They need to have $200 billion a year in revenue.
Yeah.
By the end of 2027. To be sustainable as companies.
2027.
They have $1.1 trillion in compute commits. And that's money that has already been paid.
Spent. Yeah, right.
And so what NVIDIA sees is that model of being a large inference provider is no longer sustainable. Amen. That is not a valid business model that will proceed beyond the next 2 years.
Right.
And so they are pivoting to PCs. They're pivoting to AI into laptop.
Laptop.
Yes. What do we need? Laptop. That's what we need in order to keep this thing going, because NVIDIA is the one that comes out smelling like a rose every single time because they make the chip.
Yeah, of course.
And they can just stick it anywhere. They can stick it in laptop. They can stick it in refrigerator. They can stick it in
dryer.
In dryer. Yeah, they can stick it in bicycle. They can put chips everywhere.
I love
that. They don't care what it is.
We just got to keep talking like this. They can stick it in app. They can stick it.
They can stick it in keyboard.
Mouse. Stick it in mouse.
Mouse. AI mouse.
Reinventing mouse.
That's all they need. That's all they need is a place to stick a chip, and they'll do it.
In head, we put a chip. Yeah.
We're going to reinvent head. Which is what the 80s did, but that's another story. I
make the jokes around here.
The bubble has popped.
That is an
Apple
bold
popped.
Bold statement.
And Apple, mark my words, when they release the AI enabled Siri, That's the end of this whole experiment.
Mm.
It just is, because then the only people that'll be left who are paying for inference are going to be API users.
Right. Idiots.
Which is not a sustainable business. It's not enough money.
No.
It's just not.
No.
It's not. It's like, I cannot wait for the bubble to... for this whole thing to unravel, because the sooner we can just get rid of all this nonsense and all the marketing crap and go and just get down to brass tacks.
So are you currently doing your any coding that you're using AI for? You're doing that with laptop? You're doing that with with RSS, RSS DGX computer?
Yeah, with desktop. Mm-hmm. I'm using the DGX for inference for everything podcast index related.
Wow.
That's code. That's code.
That's
as well.
Quinn 3.6, 20 billion.
Quinn 3.6, 35B, A3B MOE model.
What agent? So what agent?
Pi.
Pi, right. And you've customized that.
Right. Yeah. Everything else I'm still using just Claude, just because I've already got stuff built up in those memory files and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But and honestly, it's get while the getting's good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Because I think Anthropic's strategy is clearly go
public, put money in pocket.
But yeah, NVIDIA put chip in laptop.
Yeah.
Anthropic put money in pocket and get the hell out of Dodge as fast as possible. But their strategy is, to me, is clear. They introduce more and more big scary models that we can't let you use for very long. And because they're so powerful, it'll like kill children.
That was the stupidest marketing ploy ever. Like, oh,
well,
yeah,
they
we didn't
it
see
again. They did it with Fable 5.
Well, Fable 5 is the artist formerly known as Mythos.
Yeah, they're going to dunk. So they released Fable 5 and they're like, well, this thing is so powerful.
You got to pay extra for it.
You got to switch to API based billing.
Oh, is that the only way to access it? You have to use it via API?
You get 2 weeks free and then it goes token based billing.
Wow.
For Fable 5.
Wow.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so
they're going to push everybody to token based billing, but they can't come out and say it because they're going to lose customers. So what they have to do is say, if you want our best model, you got to go to token based billing. And really their quote best model is just sort of like a rehash of the existing model, except it uses more tokens.
But cyber. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this whole thing's a joke and it's I'm so ready for it to be over, but the warning stands. If you have built a podcast product on inference providers using APIs, you better be using some sort of flexible API router where you can switch over to different providers or find a plan B, because if your back end relies on ChatGPT or Claude, it's not, you better have a plan B.
Right.
Because those are not sustainable business models. They're just not.
Okay.
I mean,
I think we've exhausted the topic. I'm tired now.
I mean, I had some clips on it, but I think I'm just going to jettison those clips because it's the same crap that everybody already knows.
Okay.
You know, and like me and you talked about, the real issue here is not, the real issue here is that these large tech companies, they need this thing to work for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because they have their financial life is wrapped up in being able to fire people.
What they do. Yeah, they have to.
Because the Google $80 billion equity raise, nobody talked about the fact that $40 billion of that was for payroll.
Well, the No Agenda show talked about it because you told me about it and I talked about it. So not nobody. We're not anybody, but we're nobody.
50% of the $80 billion was for payroll.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense for a company that literally prints
money?
Money.
Yeah.
All is not well in the tech financial world. It's just not.
You want to talk about 30 seconds versus 60 seconds?
No, is this the AMP thing?
Well, Spotify has adopted it. That changes everything. The super secret WhatsApp group is hilarious. Everyone keeps posting.
Why?
Because there's no actual conversation. I mean, there's still an ongoing thread about some doofus who says, "I'm the podfather," and I haven't even said anything in this thread. Everyone's like, "This guy's an idiot. This is no good. We already got one. We don't need another one." You know, it's like this, all of these groups, and I say it with love and respect, they go nowhere. It's just like, opinion. It's like maybe I should turn it into a podcast. Let's see what that sounds like. Turn that WhatsApp thread into a podcast. But they're not really discuss. Well, I got to add this guy. Hey, so-and-so from Amazon is here. Okay, well, that's going to fix the problem. The Podcast Data Collective, which, it was interesting to hear Sam and James's thoughts on that. I don't know if you listen to Power. You probably don't have time for Power.
I listened to a little bit of it. I don't know, man. I've got mixed feelings on it.
On what? On the whole idea?
On the collective, yeah.
Well, if you're not going to do it, it won't happen, so that's fine.
Well, no, I'm
if you don't do it, it'll never happen. And I'm okay with that. I don't have ads, I don't care. But I also understand why you'd be like, I don't feel like getting into it or doing it. I get it.
I feel like it's a worthwhile thing to do and I'm open to it. I keep having these thoughts like, I'm afraid participation is just going to be so hard. I mean, we have developers, it's like herding cats, and I'm afraid it's just going to be like a huge endeavor to try to get people on board. I think I'm sort of like a little bit down on
life.
No. I think I'm a little bit down on pushing new endeavors because of the reaction to the HTTP signing thing.
Oh, I like everything that was negative. Going. Oh, what was the negativity? I mean, I like the whole idea. I don't. What is the actual
You're
negative
in the minority.
Pushback. Well, okay. Why am I in the minority? What is the issue?
Well, I mean, a majority of people
because they're afraid it will be used to block certain hosts and or apps. Is that the bottom line?
Yeah. Okay. One big thing I did this week was I put signing.
Yeah.
Into our aggregators.
Now, signing is something that Cloudflare already uses, correct?
Yeah, because so what I did this week.
What Dave did this week?
Well, Eric, what you're saying, Eric said, was it negative? There was criticism of the idea, but I don't think it was negative. I mean, it's hard to not take it negative. What I mean by negative is the fact that when the proposal came out, it was like, I will die before I will put this in my app.
Who said that?
And Marco and then other people sort of shared the,
I will die before I put this in my app.
Yeah. And other people shared the sentiment they are welcome to their opinion. That is not the problem.
Was this a GitHub thing?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure. So I see. I'm a happy guy because I don't go on GitHub.
But I think the issue though that was that it was just there was such a like there was no discussion really. It was like not doing it. See ya.
Right.
And so, I mean, there was lively beneficial debate back and forth, and just like we talked about with Spurlock last week. But there was this strong sentiment from, John and Marco and others that were like, this can't no, we're not doing this. This is just not a good idea. And so I've been fighting this problem with the aggregator.
People don't understand your particular pain. They don't have your pain.
And I don't have theirs, to be fair. You know, I don't have their pain either.
You mean they're actually making money and you're not? That's painful for them?
Well, Spurlock's not making a dime. He's losing money true. just like us. Yeah. But so the problem we have with the aggregator is that we get blocked through Cloudflare sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's what this latest issue I've been fighting is, because part of it makes no sense.
That's a 415 error?
Yes. And invalid media type, which is a very strange error to give back if it thought that you were a bot. What, like, why 415? I mean, there's like 403s, 401s.
What does 415 stand for? What?
Invalid media type.
I want to ask the Book of Knowledge. Book of Knowledge. What does the HTTP error code 415 stand for? I just like listening to the Book of Knowledge. Let's see what the Book of Knowledge says.
According to the Book of Knowledge, HTTP error code 415 means unsupported media type. The server cannot process the media format of the requested data, such as when a client sends JSON, but the server only accepts XML.
There it is.
Thus, it has been written.
Well, see, in a 415 usually shows up with a post request, but I'm getting 415s on GET requests.
Hmm.
And so there's not even a media type that's included. There's no body. There's no body at all. So it's just a GET is just a URL. So the whole thing's very strange. Mm. And John Spurlock was like, well, maybe Cloudflare considers you to be a bot.
You're no good. You're just a bot, man. You're a bot.
A malicious bot.
Bot. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, I mean, maybe, but 415, that's a weird one. So I was like, well, okay, why don't we do this? If there's a chance, so I did some checking. I did some curling, and
what user agent? PHP library.
PHP library. You know, various user agents impersonating all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the same set of curls from my local machine and from one of the aggregator boxes at Linode.
Mm-hmm.
If I set my user agent to be a browser from a local machine, I got a 200 and not a 415. And this is to one specific, this happened on two different feeds. One of them was Castapod and one of them was a WordPress install. So they're different platforms.
Hmm.
So this is, I think, what led John to think, well, maybe this is Cloudflare giving you
a finger.
Giving you static.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did the same set of tests on the Linode host and everything produced a 415, no matter what I did. And so I was like, well, okay, maybe it is Cloudflare. And so I submitted the podcast index aggregator to their verified bots program. Heard nothing back for a couple of days, and then found through some Google searches that people routinely submit to the verified bots program and don't hear anything back for, quote, weeks or months.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So I was like, well, okay, maybe let's try a different approach. You can have their verified bots program has two different routes you can take. You can submit your user agent plus your known IP addresses as a combo and saying, you know, here's my bot. Here's what the user agent string is going to be. Here's all the IP addresses that the traffic is going to come from. This is how you know it's me. And in order to do that, you have to have public descriptions of your bot, public IP lists, all this kind of stuff. I did all that documentation, got all that stuff submitted. Well, that didn't work. So the other option is to do signing.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a verified bot through the, what they call their web bot auth.
Auth?
Program.
Auth.
Auth.
Auth. And auth. Yes, got it.
A-U-T-H.
Yeah.
Which is just HTTP signing, which is what we brought up in,
yeah, you know, in the GitHub. It's exactly that. Yes, got it.
Yes, and so I thought, okay, well, let's see how this works. So I will eat my own dog food since I support the idea of HTTP signing. I will harm myself for the benefit of the cause.
Yes, for the group.
For the group.
For the team. You're taking one for the team. Yes.
And I will do the signing stuff because I've already written signing code before. That's in the podcast index.
Copy paste. Another copy paste in your life. Yes.
In the Activity Pub, podcast index, Activity Pub bridge, since Mastodon requires HTTP signing. I already had all that code. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty much the same thing, but with a little bit of, with some wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the coding agent to go out and, look at all the code for the podcast that I had previously written, because I'm like, the aggregator's written in Rust. That other code's written in Rust should be just a boop.
Yep.
You know, right, stick it in there.
Yep.
Right in it. It sucked it in, did the thing, looked at the Cloudflare documentation, and then made all the necessary changes so that we could publish the public keys in the correct format that then Cloudflare could verify against. So it did all that work. I then had to go and stick the public keys into a .well-known URL location on the podcastindex.org website. That is functioning now, for key verification. So now the aggregator is signing all of its feed download requests.
Mm-hmm.
Submitted it again to Cloudflare, this time choosing the webbot auth key signing. And since this all follows their proposal, this is what they want people to do. And it's all public and it should be immediately automatable. I thought this is probably gonna go pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about a week. Have not heard a peep.
I was worried about that.
we still do not show up on the verified bots list for Cloudflare.
Mm.
Overcast is on there. Other podcast feeds are on, other podcast aggregators are on there.
Oh man.
Not us.
You're not in the app store.
So again, I don't know. So, but I do know that we are now signing all of our HTTP requests. So all that code is now, and of course our aggregator is public.
Mm-hmm.
Our website code is public. Anybody can go and grab it and start signing your traffic.
Right.
Because now all that code has been published and you can do it. The next thing I'm going to do in order to continue eating my own dog food is place HTTP signing for media downloads into the Podcast Index website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play an enclosure from our website, that request will now be signed.
Okay.
The reason I'm doing this is because the most difficult, way to do this is in a web browser, because you have such limited options when it comes to when it comes to adding headers to an AJAX request.
Mm.
The browser does not want to let you have access to add custom headers to those things. It's very limited. But you can, according to the research I've done, there's a couple of ways around it. One of them is through a service worker. And so that is my next project, is to attempt to add support for HTTP signing, for media, for enclosure requests to a website, ours, in order to just prove that it works. I'll reiterate what I said last week. I'm not going to die on this hill. It's a thing that people seem to not want. But if 3 years from now, abusive traffic becomes such a problem,
yeah,
that this topic gets revisited, at that point, there will be working code that's out there that we can all.
Oh, just I thought you were gonna do an "I told you so."
No, I mean, I may, but that'll be a game time decision.
Well, I think in general, the AMP group got what they wanted. They want more money, so they found the perfect solution. Let's take a play from 60 seconds to 30 seconds, so you'll have more plays. Bada bing, everybody got more money overnight. It's perfect. It succeeded at its initial mission.
I think James was right that the play, I think he's right in his instinct that what this really was about was not about getting accurate download numbers.
No.
Or accurate listen numbers. It's to try to somehow judge the size of a show so that you know whether the advertiser is going to want to buy it or not.
Yeah.
But so if you can get a play count.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, well, you know that's, you, yeah. You can, yeah. But listen, so May numbers for Pod News, 2,093 Apple downloads versus 3,200 Apple plays. Boom, money in the pocket.
Number go up.
Number go up. That's all you need. Yeah. That's not spoofable. Yeah. Let them do whatever they want to do. It's fine. Really.
Let them do whatever they want
to. Call a podcast, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's fine. It's all good. Yeah, I tried. Yeah, I tried.
I mean, I still think it makes sense to do something. I'm just not sure how to.
No, it's.
I'm just depressed.
Don't be depressed. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to affect anything what we're doing. You know, I'm getting offers to sell the index. Did you know that?
Why?
I don't know.
Who would want it?
Yes, there's people who say they want to buy it. Like, it's not for sale.
For what?
I don't know. I'm like, do you need Dave with it? Because, without Dave, it's kind of nothing.
that's the weirdest thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, like
would somebody want to buy an open source project that doesn't make any money?
Let me tell you, I don't think they exactly know what it is.
I hope not.
Let me see. I get one of these emails. I think I can find one somewhere. Hold on.
Yeah, I hope they don't know what it is because otherwise they have a bad decision.
What it is? It's private equity.
That's even better.
Isn't that great? let me see. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I may not be able to find it. But, you know, private equity and like a home office type private equity. And we really want to put some money into podcasting. And so we're looking at everything that's out there. It's like someone trying to do some shopping, you know, some Spotify buying, I guess.
Chad says sell it and launch podcasting 3.0.
No, we'll probably have a non-compete.
Why would anybody want this dog is what I want to know.
It's not a dog. It's a it looks very. Hey, we can go public. I mean, come on.
We can IPO.
Just yeah. podcastindex.ai and we're billionaires. That's all you just need to change the.
What the, an oversight.
I know. Let me see. Here it is. We have a family office is actively investing in companies in podcasting. Are you available to discuss?
No.
Edith. VP of Growth Equity. I'm like, yeah, sure. Send me, we want everything in Bitcoin, please.
but not right now. Wait till it keeps going.
Not at this very moment. No, actually, we want it now. You know, all this equity, there's going to be liquidity everywhere pretty soon. Once these, once people get out of the OpenAI and Anthropic, you know, the insiders.
Once they Nathan get rid of said, in my experience, the buyer will give it back to you in about 5 years. Yes.
Well, we had to have Nathan representing us.
Because yeah, you're an agent. You've been an agent.
He knows how to do this stuff, man.
Yeah, he probably already knows the people. Yeah.
We're no good. Nathan knows how to do it. Exactly. Exactly. If y'all were boosting, I'm sorry. I hadn't brought up my my helipad. And looks like my start 9 has been down for a couple of days. I wonder if I even have channels open. Let me see. Yeah, I need some kind of alert for this. Let me see. Though I still have channels. Oh, good, I have channels. But
you didn't get an alert email from IPFS podcasting.
That's interesting. You say that. No, because my IPF. Well, that's interesting.
Is Cameron alive? Has anybody checked the cabin in the woods?
That's a good point. Normally, that was my canary in the coal mine when I got an IPFSpodcasting.net email. Hey, your node's been down for 24 hours. Like, oh, crap, I got to go reboot that thing.
Somebody do a wellness check on Cameron. He may not be okay.
Yeah, but that's a good idea, actually. It's a good idea. Let me see. What else did I have on my list? I had... the user agent war, okay. Podcast standards. Podcast standards project. We're the teenagers. They're the boring adults. We got that. Apple WWDC, okay. Woo, video on everywhere, okay. Yeah, everything. I think we've kind of covered all the things. You know, people need to understand this is just a moment for Dave and Adam to catch up. We used to do this just on the phone. We just decided to record it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's how some of the funnest things have developed. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I got a whole bunch of stuff in my notes here, but I'm really struggling to make any sense out of it. Mm. It looks like I just brain dumped onto the page.
You need a system, man. I don't know what I did. You need a system. You need a system.
James talked about the other day about deprecating non-VTT formats in transcript tag.
Yes, he keeps wanting. No, yeah, anything but VTT. Yes, he wants to kill it. I'm still doing SRT, by the way.
Yeah, and this is
which I could switch it, but it's kind of like me versus the Curry versus the Cridler at this point. I'm like, I'm not going to switch that. Go ahead, Cridler. Try and ban me. I'm publishing my SRT files. That's what I've been doing for a long time.
I don't think we can do that.
No, deprecating is gay. Can't do that.
We can't deprecate formats because
James doesn't like it.
Well, no,
I'm sure he has very valid points, actually.
No, he's always got a logical flow of his reasoning. But I think sometimes he misses just the fact that that open source just really can't dictate what people do, because Apple says we only take VTT, but other apps take other things and other people create different things.
Oh, Apple doesn't recognize my SRT?
No.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. But I have so many pipelines written for SRT. It's kind of...
It's an easy swap.
Yeah, I guess.
Your bot can do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just... I've talked about this before, like one of the problems with namespaces in the past, and it annoys him when we have very open-ended tags that don't narrowly define a format.
Yeah. It's a form of OCD.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, you should have one format that you support. But maybe the namespace is, maybe the reason the namespace is this way is that it's an expression of a belief pattern within open source that says it goes back to that. Was it Bill Joy that said, be liberal in what you accept and conservative in what you send? That's the
either that or Dave Weiner. I don't know. One of the two.
No, it wasn't Dave Weiner. No. It wasn't Dave Weiner. It predates him, but it was, I think it was Bill Joy, but that ethos of be very open with the formats that you accept, but very strict with the formats that you publish, allows for a loose coupling that is really important. So, like, the internet itself works, it's built on this foundation. Because if you publish the robustness principle, okay. Yeah. So the John Postel, that's right. It's John Postel, the guy that invented SMTP. So if you, the internet itself is built on this idea that you, like when you're sending packets and they travel across a router, routers are expected, if they cannot deliver it in a quick, timely manner, they are expected to drop packets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not an error.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping a packet is not an error. It is the way that the network is designed. You drop, under a certain set of circumstances, it is the correct thing to do to drop a packet, because then the sending entity knows to just, they don't get an acknowledgement, and so they just resend it. It's not a problem.
Right.
That is sort of the ethos of open source in general, that when you, that you are very accepting of all kinds of things being sent to you, and you just do the best you can to handle it. Because when you try to dictate strictness to a sending party, it only goes so far. You get to a certain percentage and you'll never get beyond it. So then the onus gets flipped back on you as the consumer of that format or of that data to then make adjustments. And this is the way RSS works too. I mean, but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Aggregators make they jump through all kinds of hoops to deal with non-standard XML stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to it. That's mm-hmm. just the way this world works. So
otherwise it wouldn't work. That you're absolutely right. That's a perfect example.
Yeah. Like what about somebody who publishes a blog? Let's say they got a WordPress site, and their WordPress site, only they're reading their blog, and they're going to turn that into a podcast. So they're just going to record their voice reading their blog post and make that a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They upload it as an MP3. They're using WordPress built-in enclosure support, and then they download a plugin that will modify their RSS feed to also stick
enclosure.
A link to their HTML page in as the transcript. Because right. all they're doing is reading the page.
Right, right, right.
So the transcript is just a link back to their HTML page. Well, this person's not an expert in podcasting formats.
No.
Do we want to say, well, you have to publish that in VTT?
You're banished. You're banished from podcasting.
Your HTML is no good here.
Yeah. I'm Adam Curry, the podfather. You're no good. Go away.
So that's, and I think the answer to that, from my perspective, is no. We need to be accepting of other formats.
And other children and other cultures from other lands.
That's, yeah, yeah. Don't be so Australian centric.
Oh wow,
be open minded.
Oh, you just hit a hot button there. He hates that podcasting is so U.S. centric. He doesn't
That's
like
true.
That.
Yeah,
which it is, of course.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Now but you guys got Mel Gibson. Be happy. And Olivia Newton-John.
Who's the Hugh Jackman? They got Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. And you got Kidman, Nicole Kidman.
Chris, the guy that played Thor.
You got Thor. What's your problem?
You got Thor.
Yeah. You got Thor.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Yes.
All kinds of people. They got all kinds of people. Olivia. Did you say Olivia Newton-John?
I did.
I got thrills. Yeah. They want to play.
Yep.
Xanadu.
Yeah. Xanadu. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wish I could. I hope I've put you in a little bit of a better mood. I don't like it when you're down. I can tell. I can always tell.
Not
when you're
really.
Down. No, I didn't help. Didn't help.
Hmm. No, not really.
When's the last? You got to go camping again, man. Go back into the woods. That's good for you.
Well, you know, our air conditioner's been broke for about 2 months.
Right? And it's just so you don't have air conditioner unbreaker guys?
We had two sort of mini split systems, sort of like toward two zones down here on the bottom floor of our house.
Yep.
The back one is broke. The one at the front of the house works.
It's the capacitor, I tell you. It's always the capacitor.
I walked out one day and I could smell a horrible smell.
That's the capacitor burning.
No, it was the main board.
Ooh, no, that's not good.
It melted itself.
Yeah, that's an automatic $3,200 repair.
So it was going to be more than that because for people who maybe not familiar with mini splits, the mini split world is the compressor and the internal air handlers, they're sort of married together. They go that you can't mix and match.
Right.
One is sort of tied to the other.
You got to replace both.
You got to replace them all. So ours were like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. And that's then not very old.
It's not very old, but new mini splits come out like on a yearly basis. So ours, we had no hope of finding any parts for our old one. Huh. And so they would have to put in a whole new system. It was going to be like $10,000. And so I was like, well, for that, we can just replace the whole downstairs with a whole new central system. And so it's going to cost a lot more than $10,000.
No.
But, it's going to be like $16,000.
Well, why don't you take $10,000 podcast index money and we'll call it a day. And then you add the other six. I'm fine with that. I don't need any money.
Never. No.
Everybody will agree with me. You need air conditioning. This is critical. Look, listen to your attitude today. This is critical to the future of podcast index. I'm telling you.
The air conditioner?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, yes. You need to have cool air. We need to keep your blood at the right temperature, blood, bro. Yes, yes.
No, this is not okay. Happening.
Well, I just know I approve it.
I'll just wait for the private equity money.
Oh,
I'll wait for the exit.
We need $1,016,000 for the podcast index.
I'm gonna wait for
the IPO. Wait for the IPO.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, brother. That sucks. It really does.
Whatever. Living in an old house. It costs arm and a leg.
Living in a new house is the same problem. But I've had my air units. I mean, it's always the capacitor. That's usually what it is.
That capacitor thing is a total scam, too.
Oh, is it?
Oh man.
Really?
It is. When you take the main way mechanic shops make money is with oil changes and brakes.
Yeah, sure.
They'll take a $50 set of brake pads and charge you $350 to do them. One of the ways that HVAC companies, one of their cash cows is start capacitors.
Yeah.
It's a $35 part and they will charge you $700 to replace
it. No. My guys do not charge me $700 at all.
How much do they charge you?
I'd have to look, but we have a service subscription, so we don't pay anything extra for them coming out. I think it's probably 70. I think they're probably charging 70 bucks. But now I understand, because I'm the guy that's like, hey, here's 20 bucks. Thanks for coming out, man. They always look at me like, you don't have to do that, bro. They're probably feeling bad about themselves at that point. Like, oh, man, he's tipping. We just ripped him off. I can't believe he's doing that. I don't feel good about this. He's so nice.
My dad used to work for an HVAC supply company. And so I could always get the parts wholesale. So I could get a start capacitor for like $15. Mm-hmm. And I just plop that thing in myself. And then one day I got real busy and I was like, you know, I just don't have time to handle this. I'm going to call the company. I was expecting them to charge me $200 for the service fee and all that kind of stuff when they come out. $700 is what they charge.
Wow.
For a start capacitor. And for just replacing it. It was just simply a wire. I was like, nope.
No, they can't do that in Texas, man. Not in the hill country. You can't get away with that. People will shoot you. No. No. I literally got this text from, we have a, how is it called? Aerobic septic system. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this?
That's where it is. Where the, you got bacteria that eat your poop.
No. Okay. Nice visual, but no, that's not it. The aerobic, I think it is. That's probably the wrong word. So you basically, you have your own little mini water purifier. So mm-hmm. there's a little pump there, a CO2 pump, and it just shoots in CO2 at high speed. And so after a while, then it just... Then sprinklers pop up and it just shoots this clean water all over the grass. So it's really purifying your poop into stuff that you can, you know, just water. So the guy, you know, Paul comes out. Let me see if I can find this. Oops. What is this? That's not what I wanted. Paul comes out and, let me see if I can find his text message. Hold on. And he texts me before, oh, here we go. He says, please have all trip mines and explosives secured and disengaged. We will be on your property shortly. See, that's how we talk in Texas.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
And I said, it's all right, Paul. All booby traps are disarmed. Phoebe's indoors. It's good. You're good to go.
Did he think he was going to Laura Logan's house?
No, I don't know. I think they just keep their poop in the ground. I don't think they do anything with it.
the guy that's doing our HVAC, though, he's a cool dude. We used to live about an hour north of Birmingham in the wilderness, and he's from that same area. And so he rolled up the other day and he saw the old 72 4x4, Ford 4x4 in the backyard.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey man, I got Ford trucks too. He's like, you want some mirrors? I got a set of mirrors I'll give you. I was like, yeah, I'll take
some mirrors. You never know when my wife will rip one off.
I was like, I'll pay you for them. He's like, no, I just one Ford guy to another. Yeah, I'll give you some mirrors. I was like, okay.
Need a tranny? I got a tranny here for you. It means something different in Austin than it does in Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well,
all right.
What are you going to do this weekend?
Well, I was going to go climbing yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow,
go climbing.
It's going to be like 92 degrees outside. So
No, it's better to sit indoors without air conditioning. Enjoy that. That's going to be much better.
No, I'll just sit in the front of the house where the air is closed.
There's still air. Oh, man.
Air in the front of the house. Yeah. Would you just don't stay in the kitchen. That's where, God, it's like 1,000 degrees.
You got fans going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there it is, boardroom. We have solved nothing today, but we had a nice chat. I hope you all enjoyed it. And as always, would you please join us next Friday for another episode of the Board Meeting, Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
The bubble has popped.